Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to hear your word and the privilege of hearing your word all the time and of sharing it with others. I pray, Lord, that this message this morning will glorify you and both edify and inspire the hearers, and that you will be glorified in our lives every day wherever we are, and that we may in some way glorify you throughout the world, that your will may be done everywhere on earth as it is in heaven. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Our text is a very short one here in John 4, verse 35. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. We're all familiar with this text, and I don't think we need to really expound the text. We all are aware that he's not really talking about the harvest of grain or grapes or something there in Samaria, but that he's talking about the harvest of souls as he looks out and sees these Samaritans approaching. And so we would like to really not expound the text, but to make practical application of it. The harvest is truly great today all over the world, especially in Latin America and in Africa, but probably even more in China than anywhere else at this present time. The fields certainly are ripe for a harvest in China. And there are 7 reasons why I say that, and I don't have time to go into all 7 reasons, but I'll do as many as I can. One of the great reasons is that there's such a vacuum there, a spiritual vacuum. We all know about the communist takeover in 1949 and how they tried to wipe out Christianity and every other religion in the country, but especially during the Cultural Revolution. They did all they could to wipe out Buddhism and Confucianism and Taoism, and they pretty well succeeded. I was talking to a Buddhist over there last summer, and he said he thought maybe there were about 3 million Buddhists in the entire country, where it used to be about 100% Buddhist before the communist takeover. And Confucianism has all but disappeared. There's really a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God, or a thirst for some meaning to life. They're really searching for the truth. And we found that when we were teaching English over there last summer in the university. And every day I had more opportunity to share the gospel there than I'd ever have here in the United States in a university or in a public high school or any other public school. One day I was saying, we were having a drill on I and E, for example, the difference between I and E and ship and sheep and slip and sleep and sin and seen. And I said, oh, by the way, what is sin? Somebody said immorality. I said, well, yeah, that's part of it. And I went into a pretty long explanation of what sin was. I talked for a whole hour about sin and our need for a Savior and who the Savior was. And nobody said, hey, you're kind of getting out of line here, aren't you? This is an English class. No, they were all eager. They were all sitting on the edge of their seat listening to what I had to say for a whole hour. And then later on, another time, I talked for a whole hour about Jesus, and half hour in class and a half hour after class. And nobody said, hey, your time's up, you know, let us go. They were all very eager to hear. And I could tell you stories like that for a couple hours, I think. But there's really a spiritual vacuum there. And then secondly, the Chinese government is asking for 50,000 teachers of English, native speakers of English. The most missionaries that we ever had in China, that is, of all the Protestant missionaries that were ever in China, there never were more than 8,000 at one time. That was back in 1928. After that, the numbers kind of dwindled. And I think there were 4,000 in 1949 when they got all kicked out. And so now they're asking for 50,000 teachers of English. Thirdly, they prefer Christian teachers, because they found out that the Christians are a lot more dedicated than the other non-Christian teachers that come from America. And we heard this before we even went over there. But while we were there, after about a week or 10 days, the dean of the foreign language department there, we were in Hefei, about 200 miles west of Shanghai, and the dean of that school said, we need more teachers like you, meaning Christians. He said, you people really are dedicated, you really love the students, and you love one another, and you love your work. We've seen other teachers come over here and go to that other college up the street, and they didn't really care about the teachers, I mean about the students. They just came to see the country. As soon as class was out, they would run downtown and do some shopping or sightseeing. On weekends, they were gone the entire time. We don't know where they went. They just came to see the country. But you people really love your students. And we did. We were spending all of our time with our students from the time we got up in the morning till we went to bed at night. And not only in the classroom, but in our apartment or walking in the park. And they really appreciated that. And they said, we need more teachers like you. So it's really an open door for Christian teachers. And they also, you know, if the missionaries that used to go over there had to learn Chinese before they could do any witnessing. Now you don't have to learn any Chinese. You can just go over there and start teaching English. And the students that we had were all teachers of English in high schools, and they came there for advanced training, but they already knew English when they came there, and so we could witness in English the first day, and so we were able to witness more the first day we were there than missionaries in the past could do in 2 years, because they all had to learn English, learn Chinese before they could do any effective witnessing at all. And so I could go on with more reasons why there's a really the fields are white for harvest. And but I don't think we have time to look at the rest of the reasons, but that's enough. And what are we going to do about it? That's the next question. What can you do about it? It would be a shameful thing, as Solomon said in Proverbs 10:5, for the sun to sleep through the harvest. And you don't have to be as wise as Solomon to know that. Any farmer would know that. What a shameful thing, whether you're talking about harvesting wheat or grapes or whatever it is, when they're ripe for harvest, to sleep through the harvest, what a terrible, terrible thing that would be. We hope that nobody here will sleep through the harvest. Not that everybody has to go to China, of course. Maybe none of you will ever go there yourself. Maybe one or two of you will want to go for a summer or for a year and teach English as a second language, and share your faith while you're doing it. That would be one thing that you can do. But of course, all of you are going to be in the ministry. You're going to be out on vicarage pretty soon, or you're going to be out there in the ministry very shortly. If not this year, then in a year or two, you'll be out there. What can you do? One thing you can do, of course, is to recruit people from your own congregation. You don't have to be an ordained minister over there. In fact, you'd have an easier time getting into China with a bachelor's degree in education or in English or in some related subject than you would be with a doctor or a theology degree. So you've got plenty of people in your congregation who will be able to go, who will be qualified to go. So wouldn't it be wonderful if we would send one person over there each year from each congregation? Wow, we could really help to gather in the harvest and to plant more seed in where it needs planting. So we hope that you will want to do that when you get out there, and you will do it, to harvest, that is, to recruit people to help with the harvest. And if you can't get somebody from your congregation to go, then maybe there's somebody from another congregation going that you can help get over there. It does take money. We can't expect a communist, God-denying, gospel-hating communist leaders to invite us over there and pay us to share our faith. They do pay our board and room while we're teaching, and they pay our travel expenses within the country, but we still have to get our own $3,000 together for the round trip over there and back, and for orientation and for the administration of this whole program. It does take a lot of doing, and so we hope you'll help to raise the funds to get some of these harvesters over there. But then above all, of course, to pray. Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. I hope that you will be doing that every day and in your own private devotions and every Sunday and every time you have a church service to pray the Lord of Harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest, not only to China, of course, but there and throughout the world, that God's name will be glorified in every land and every tribe and every tongue. We know that God wants all China to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth about Jesus Christ. Not only China, he says he wants all people everywhere to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So let us pray about that all the time, that his will be done on earth, in China, and throughout the world, as it is in heaven, where the angels of God are continually praising and thanking God all the time. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for all that you're doing for us, all you have done and all you continue to do all the time. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be harvesters wherever we are, and help us also indirectly to harvest the crop that is ripe over there in China and in many lands, in every land around the world. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.